Thank you for the shout out for NYU. It's an interesting story. In 2005, the College of Nursing and College of Dentistry at NYU were joined administratively, partially probably for fiscal reasons, but also with the idea, the conceptual idea, of really fostering interdisciplinary collaboration. Since that time, numerous projects, research, clinical, education initiatives have been implemented, including this one, which explores the oral health and smoking cessation needs of patients with HIV who are receiving home care services. So primarily these are people that are being seen by nurses, and we thought it would be very interesting to explore what their oral health needs were, having had enough discussions with our dental colleagues to know that there is a big disconnect between oral health and systemic health, and yet the literature is constantly showing us that actually they are very connected and we need to be paying attention to both of them. So I didn't put the disclosure slide in, so I have to say I have nothing to disclose. just reassure you on that. And I want to thank, of course, my co-authors, Peter Missouri, Donna Shelley. Donna's from the College of Dentistry. Carolyn Dorson and Joan Kambelik are both nurse practitioners and also PhD students in our program, and we're very interested in this topic and assisted in carrying out this study. Also want to acknowledge the Visiting Nurse Services of New York, the senior management, and the long-term care program leadership, Gail Silver and Andressa Pearson, for their assistance in conducting the study. We never could have done it without their help. So a little background. Thanks to the effectiveness of highly active antiretroviral therapy, there are about 1.1 million people living with AIDS in the US. However, over a third of those people living with AIDS will experience an oral health-related problem, and yet probably not more than half of them receive routine oral care. Oops, it's not coming down here. So from early on in the AIDS epidemic, the relationship between oral health and HIV was first described in, as the signs and symptoms were recognized as manifestations of HIV. Through the advances in HIV treatment, however, reductions in oral manifestations have occurred, and only at this point, mostly people that are in advanced stages of disease and those that smoke tobacco remain at increased risk for many oral health problems. And it's because of this that we created a study that wasn't just on the oral health needs, but for looking at smoking cessation because they're so directly related. So smoking prevalence among people with HIV/AIDS is 2 to 3 times that of the general population. Persons with AIDS that smoke are more likely to have poor viral and immunological response to highly active antiretroviral therapy, and higher presence of oral lesions independent of their CD4 counts compared to people that are non-smokers with HIV. So there's a compelling need here for addressing both tobacco use and oral needs. So it turns out, actually, people with HIV/AIDS are positive, actually, about wanting to quit, but there's been almost no work that's really been done to evaluate what are the best kinds of interventions for people. We do know that there's some standard interventions that we use at a population level for smoking cessation, but we don't know whether these would work in this population or not. So the purpose of this study was to identify those oral health care and smoking cessation needs, and in the home care setting in particular, and I'll tell you a little bit more about what that means in New York, the home care setting. So we developed a random sample of 100 persons with HIV that were receiving home care services provided through the largest provider of those services in New York. And in fact, it's the largest provider of home care services in the world. It's a very, very large agency. The exclusion criteria included medical instability and cognitively unable to participate. So the people that were in home care with HIV were given a flyer describing the study from their agency nurse and asked if they were willing to be contacted by telephone to complete a brief interview about oral health and smoking status. We asked them, the nurse asked them, if they were interested in the study, and there was a $20 incentive, how they would like to be contacted. We wanted to keep them as anonymous as possible. So we said, where, when, and how would you like to be contacted? So they gave us either a cell phone number or a telephone number or some means. We didn't require any names. We assigned a study number to protect them as much as possible. The protocol was approved by New York University Medical Center as well as the Visiting Nurse Services of New York IRB. The informed consent was administered by phone. The telephone interviews were conducted by research team, lasted about 10 minutes. This was tricky, trying to get the money back to them. So we said, do you want the nurse to bring you the incentive or do you want it mailed to you? And that was their choice as well. So we looked at, in addition to demographic characteristics, we asked about length of time in home care services, what kind of oral health services they were currently receiving within the last 6 months, about oral health symptoms. We use a standard scale that's been validated for oral health impact. We asked also questions about general health and functional ability and overall quality of health that are also standard questions that are used in looking at populations with HIV. We asked 5 questions on smoking history that were taken from the National Tobacco Survey. They assessed things like the lifetime use of tobacco, smoking, attempts to quit, use of smoking cessation programs, and use of other tobacco products. So 98 persons received flyers, 82 completed permission to contact, and of those, 70 were contacted by telephone and completed the interview for a response rate of 71%. The sample was 58% female, 57% African American, 32% Latino, 7% white, and 2% other, which looks a lot like the AIDS prevalence in New York. It's sort of what you would expect. 87% received home care services for more than a year. That was a little bit surprising to us. But most people are receiving home care services to support their adherence to medication. And so they need to be evaluated as well as monitored. And that's why they're in care for longer periods of time than you might think. In terms of oral health need, 46% had not seen an oral health provider in the last 6 months. And 63% reported an oral health problem, and I'll go into some description of what the problems were. So 50% reported currently experiencing some occasional or frequent pain or discomfort because of problems with teeth, dentures, or mouth. 31% reported difficulty in eating or had changed their diet because of pain or discomfort, again, due to problems in the teeth, dentures, or mouth. When asked about oral, their overall health, in general, how would you say your health is, 3%, not surprisingly, said excellent, but 29% said very good, and 47% said fair, 21% poor. So this is just to give you some index of their level of function. Functional ability, limitations on activities of daily living due to their health, 56% reported functional ability challenges. In terms of quality of life, 15% said life was very good and could hardly be better, and 46% said it was pretty good, 29% bad, and 10% very bad. In terms of smoking behavior, 65% had reported over 100 cigarettes in their lifetime, 43% were currently smokers, 82% said that they had tried to quit smoking for one day or longer. So I think that demonstrates that the will is there. We have to find the mechanisms. Only 27% of those had sought formal kind of cessation services. In New York, we have a lot of advertising about smoking cessation, and so there are things available to people even in the home, like what are called quit lines, where you can call a number and somebody can talk to you about your smoking. So there are some opportunities, but they were not widely taken advantage of. 10% reported smoking pipes and 12% cigars. So what we conclude from this is that persons with HIV living in home care have significant unmet needs for oral health and smoking cessation. The access to home care services for this population actually provides an opportunity. They're being seen by healthcare providers, not dental healthcare providers, but healthcare providers 2 to 3 times a week. So they're kind of a captive audience that we could actually be doing a lot more for. But I think in order to do that, we need new collaborative models between healthcare professionals serving this population and the oral health professionals. So although nurses are not formally trained in comprehensive oral health assessment as part of their nursing education, they actually can be trained by dental professionals to conduct comprehensive exams. We did a parallel study where we looked at what nurses were doing. And all nurses were looking in the mouth, but they weren't doing, they didn't have the skills to really know what all they were looking at. So it was very clear that they didn't think the mouth was unimportant, but they just didn't have enough information to know what they were looking at. All members of the healthcare team, are generally home care services consist of a nurse, a social worker, and a nutritionist. They also have home healthcare aides. All of them can be trained in smoking cessation. All of them could reinforce and support smoking cessation efforts in these patients. So I think that's really an easy one. Not a part of what I'm presenting today, but just anecdotally, the part of the study that we did with the nurses also showed a very, very high, over 80% acceptability of nurses saying they would like to be trained by oral health professionals to do a better job with their patients with home care. They get the oral systemic connection, and they can see that this really makes a contribution to their patients' good health. So, that is the end of the story, except we hope we'll be able to do a better job. Thank you.